This podcast is where comfort killers like myself explain useful, practical, and conscious strategies to help individuals all over the globe get up, get out, and get it done. Comfort is our number one enemy. Being comfortable is for average, ordinary, status quo folks who live their lives through social filters and under normal circumstances. Comfort killers walk a different path. We set big goals and accomplish them, achieve greatness through purposeful action, and share our experience to help save many. Get the heck off the hamster wheel and get uncomfortable already.
It's time to get up. It's time to get out. Up. It's time get to get it out. Done. Get it done.
It's time to get on.
Let you get uncomfortable with it. You know what I mean? It's time to get uncomfortable.
Good afternoon. It's another Thursday, and I am on the phone with a very interesting person going to explain an interesting topic, one that I personally didn't even think about. This topic was brought to me by this individual that I have on the line right now, and she is going to shed more light on what it is or what does it mean to dress for success. Now, ladies, gentlemen, and I know we have more gentlemen than ladies, but this is a topic for all. I'm sure you're going to be able to get some nuggets, some golden bars out of this one to help you improve your life and business, in life or business, in your career, or if you're just ready to go out into the working world. This is one that cannot be missed. On the phone, I have Dr. Kara from Atlanta, Georgia, and she'll be with us today to explain what does it mean to dress for success, the do's and don'ts, and give you some practices, best practices, as well as some implementation technique and what you're going to do. How are you going to dress for success? We're going to get uncomfortable today because I am, ladies and gentlemen, already uncomfortable. Dr. Kara, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on the program. I'm really excited to address this important topic.
Thank you. Definitely. Thank you very much for even bringing this topic to me. I know we had a little precursor conversation, and I just explained to you how important this topic is, being that I just noticed, you know, in an interview, I just noticed someone was inappropriately dressed for an interview. So we're going to get into that. But before that, I want to know you to tell the audience, my listeners, who are you, where you're from, what do you do, and how do you know about the comfort killers?
All right, thank you. So I am a physician, a medical physician, and I see patients every day, most days for a living. I am in my early 30s, and I wanted to share some things that I've learned with your audience along the way during my training, during school, and then my postgraduate training, and then just being in the working force. And I got interested in comfort killers because I know one of your, comfort killer partners.
Yeah.
And I think it's a wonderful endeavor. I think that we can help a lot of people in various career paths, personally as well as professionally.
Very good. Thank you for that. Would you think that professional dress, going into this topic, trying to dive in head first, because I don't know where to start, but do you think that a lot of people know what this is, or do you think that it's just not common knowledge at all?
Yeah, I don't think it's common knowledge. I would say, you know, just my personal background, my mother was a stay-at-home mom, so it's certainly not any type of instructions that I received through my upbringing at all. These are things that I've picked up along the way. I've definitely made mistakes myself, and I'll cover some of those. And I have seen people, you know, physicians who I think make mistakes with their dress as well, which I was sometimes surprised to see, because I know that, you know, professionally they're very capable and intelligent women, but even they, you know, can kind of slip up and make some faux pas with their dress.
Yeah, I didn't even imagine it. I mean, what have you seen? You said that you kind of learned along the way and you made some mistakes. Could we start off with those mistakes, if you don't mind? Like, what are some of the things that you would think wouldn't work in an arena or space of anywhere, like in any industry, in any field, in any corporation, in any business or job? What will not work? What kind of mistakes do you think align with that?
Certainly. And I just want to preface the answer by saying that, unfortunately, a lot of times women are not always given equal footing professionally, whichever area you're in. We aren't necessarily paid the same for the work that we do as men who would do the same work. Mm-hmm. We aren't offered the same salaries when we go to interview for jobs. We aren't necessarily offered raises when men at our level may be. And so I think it's really important to pay attention to our dress, because that actually does make an impression on our employer and person who's in power and person who has, you know, the authority to give us a raise or give us a job. So that's why I think it's important to address this specifically for women. And some of the things that I've seen have probably been, you know, maybe a skirt that's too short or really high heels that just they may be very cute or attractive, but they're just not, they don't give that impression of professionalism, I'm here to work kind of thing. And certainly, you know, showing too much cleavage, I think, is something that we have to be careful about as women, especially women that, you know, are naturally more well endowed than others. Mm-hmm. That definitely can be a problem for them, and I think that they have to be even more aware of that and careful with it, because it's not, you know, they can't necessarily wear the same tops that other women who are less well endowed could.
Sure.
Because it doesn't cover the real estate appropriately.
Right.
So to speak.
I love what you said about, you know, well, the footing in the industries and women they're already having an unfair advantage coming into corporate America, coming into the workplace, predominantly by their male counterparts. Now, I love what you said in the terms of focus on what you can control, and your dress is that impression, and that's something you can control, which in turns controls the level of, the level of attention being paid, or the level of respect, or the level of, and it's hard for me to say that because it shouldn't have to be, but we are living in this time. We are living in the system. So I think that if you control something that can be controlled, such as your dress, such as your outfit, such as who you are when you walk in a place of business, I think that tells a lot with where you're going in what terms you're controlling your salary, per se. That's
sure.
You know. So I love that connection there, is focus on the dress because that's something you can control. But have you seen where in your experience, have you seen where the two are unrelatable or relatable, where, you know, the salary, the power comes with the dress, the impression, and then it actually translates to the power that you get or the respect that you get in the business?
Yeah, I mean, I think I could say that. I wanted to back up and actually just point something out mm-hmm. to you, just for the listeners to know that I have probably been on at least 40 to 50 professional interviews in my career. So
wow.
I've been to a lot of interviews and put a lot of thought into what to wear specifically for that interview day. And I have to say, you just to reiterate that first impressions really count, and it's unfair, but we are judged by our looks.
Right.
And especially for what we choose to wear, I think we should probably try to take advantage of that and not make it a disadvantage for ourselves, especially as women. And your other question about when have I seen people kind of advance as a result of their care to their dress, I guess what I would say is I think that it's important for us just to remember that we should dress for the job that we want and not necessarily for the job that we have, because, you know, sometimes people are even just unconsciously taken less seriously when they wear certain things, or, you know, whether it's their jewelry or their nails or their nail color, or just the style of clothes, if it's a more casual style and you're in a more upscale or professional office, that sometimes that really can just affect the way that people see you.
Right. And so you said the three points that I received from not what things that you shouldn't do is, you said that the short skirts, the cleavage, and we got into that a bit, and dress like you're there to work, pretty much.
Right.
So what does that entail? Because we're going to get into the financial aspect of it, because I know some of our listeners are like, well, that's good, but, you know, what do I have to do? How much more do I have to invest to actually go on one interview that probably won't mean anything down the line, if or if not I get the job? So
right.
We're going to get into that, but I wanted to know, so what are things you can do? Explain to me how a professional dress for, let's say, an interview, how does that look?
Certainly. I mean, it depends on which industry you're in.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, in medicine, we actually don't wear a lot of suits
right.
in my part of medicine. So wearing a suit to an interview day is a little odd for me because that's not what I wear to work every day.
Right.
But, you know, if it is a more kind of conservative type of environment, having a good tailored suit, which may mean that, you know, you can even go to like an outlet mall and buy a nice suit at a decent store that could be discounted, and just make sure that it's at the sleeves where they hit the wrist, and then at the hemline, just that they're appropriate, and if they're too long or something, going to a tailor and just having that taken in, because little details like that can really just show that you're very polished.
Mm.
So yeah, I think just knowing your industry, knowing which group you're in. I understand you have some listeners who are in the sales industry. And so, I, from my experience personally, knowing some people that are in sales, I would say a lot of times they tend to wear suits or skirt suits. And so getting something that's, you know, a quality material that doesn't show too many lines and things
right.
like that, that fits. I think the biggest thing is fit, and, you know, taking care of the suit or whatever, having it dry cleaned if you spill mustard all over your shirt when you go to get a hot dog at lunch or
right.
something, you know, things like that that could make you look sloppy, and people could infer from your dress, oh gosh, you can't even keep your clothes clean. How well are you going to do X, Y, and Z task at my job for me? Or how good is your attention to detail going to be if you can't even
exactly.
have clean clothes at work?
Exactly.
Yeah, so I'd say that, and then, you know, shoes. I always think about shoes a lot for an interview day. I tend to wear flats, and we'll have a couple of pictures on the website up for illustration. But I like flats because they're comfortable, and it allows me to be able to handle any situation. If you're taken on a long walk from one interviewer to the next,
yes.
you're ready to go. If they want to take you up the stairs, you're ready to go. You're not worried about falling over in flats, and I personally tend to be a happier, kinder person when I'm comfortable in my shoes.
Right.
So I think that's important.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I couldn't tell you how this, I mean, I saw it the other day, and that's why I'm glad that we're speaking about this topic, you know, coming in with the 7-inch heels, and then, you know, it's almost awkward.
Oh, wow.
It's almost awkward. And but one thing that is, because, you know, the brand and the company is Get Uncomfortable, right? And we always want to get in an uncomfortable state, and I wouldn't want anyone to say, well, you know, you guys are talking about comfortable shoes, let's get uncomfortable, let's go all out. But I think to get in an uncomfortable position, which is really selling yourself and selling what you could do, and really being vulnerable in a dynamic conversation in an interview, is really being comfortable in dress.
Exactly. Yeah, and I would say for this piece, for this podcast, we want you to be physically comfortable but well put together so that you can get uncomfortable in order to reach your goal.
I love it.
You don't want to be thinking about your blister on your foot when you should be focusing on your 5-year plan that they're asking you about in the interview.
Or, right, exactly.
You know.
I love it. I love that. I'm definitely going to put that up. That is a new quote by Dr. Kara.
Right.
Thank you. So we spoke about a little bit about the industries, and we said, you know, pick it towards your industry, try to align with the industry that you're in, to not kind of be the oddball out. But and the pictures will, the photos will illustrate to you guys and gals exactly why. And you do look very comfortable, and you look professional in the photos. And but we spoke about where to do it. We spoke about what not to do. We spoke about what to do. If you have someone asking you right now, Dr. Kara, okay, what's the first thing, what's the first piece I should buy? Because let's say they have a budget, okay? They have a budget. They definitely want the job. They're trying to get uncomfortable. They listened to my podcast yesterday. I told them to get up off their butts and get something done today. And today, they did it and they got a job interview. What if they can't go out? They can't go out and get anything new. Okay, well, they're going to use what they have, and they do have a wider range of clothing right now. What could they put together? What pieces could we mix and match right now to get the job done and still look professional?
Okay, I would say if you have a pair of black pants, most women have that in their wardrobe, a pair of black pants that's not too tight, because that's one thing you want to avoid, that would be a good starter piece, good pair of pants that fits you well. You know, not too long, looks good. Some flat shoes if you have that. I tend to do closed-toed because for sanitary and health reasons, we're supposed to wear closed-toed shoes in medicine.
Yeah.
But, you know, certainly not anything too showy or like a beach sandal. It's not what you want to be wearing.
Right.
This is more, you know, for in general. Now, if you're going for like a fashion designer job or fashion magazine, then maybe you can afford to be a little more edgy. But this is kind of in general because I think most of us are not in those types of jobs.
Right.
And then just, you know, maybe a collared button-down shirt if you have one of those. Iron it really nicely, starch it, make sure it's clean. If it's, you know, dry clean, put the money in to do that so you don't warp your clothes with the washer. And that's what I would mainly say. If you have long hair, you know, have it nicely combed or brushed and maybe put it back so it's not distracting for
yeah.
you. Pick a pair of, you know, medium to small size earrings that are not going to, again, be distracting. Because, you know, the thing for interview day is you want them to see you. You want them to see how wonderful you are, what great skills you're bringing, why they need you in their organization, and you don't want them to be distracted by very garish or outlandish kind of pieces that you choose to accessorize with. But it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with having bold accessories or, you know, really unique pieces. You just want to maybe save that for personal time or maybe after you have the job, if that seems like that's more in line with the corporate culture.
Yeah.
Certainly break that out. But for interview day, I would tend to be on the more conservative side. And I don't think you're ever going to be faulted for that. I definitely think people will notice if you go on the other side of it, though.
That's true. That's definitely true. What about makeup? Now, you touched
okay.
a little bit on jewelry. What about makeup?
So for makeup, you know, I personally tend to be a little lighter handed on that. But I would say, you know, again, try not to do anything too over the top, maybe more neutral type of colors. You know, I think maybe just staying away from things like false eyelashes that are really, you know, very big and glam, mm-hmm. unless you're going to be going to a job where, like, say you're a makeup artist and you're trying to show
right.
how good at those types of things you are. Most people, again, are not in those jobs. So maybe scale it down a little. Maybe don't, you know, do crazy colors on your eyeshadow or things like that. I mean, usually I feel like people mostly do pretty well with that. I'll say, you know, today I was visiting one of the medical facilities around here, and the lady I interacted with had sort of like hot pink candy-colored lipstick, which was a little distracting.
Right.
Maybe wouldn't be a good color for her interview day, but that kind of thing. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely individual specific, because of course you have colors that look better on certain complexions, and you need to kind of work with that. But I would say just try to avoid things that are really distracting, and on that note, wearing like a lot of heavy strong perfume too. This is a professional setting. It may smell wonderful, and you know, your significant other may love that perfume, but might not be appropriate to wear it for an interview. You could save it for home or for, you know, when you're out with your friends or something.
Sure thing. And we thank you for that. We spoke a little bit about just like the interview setting, but where else can we actually have these power suitings? Or is it an everyday thing? Or, you know, how do we translate from the interview into a 9-to-5 dress wear. So it's almost, is it the same kind of look? Clean, just neat, quality. And then we move into a meeting setting or a presentation, or you're finally getting to present and you finally have the opportunity. What do you do when it's that type of deal?
Okay, great. So for the everyday, once you have the job, I think, you know, you can never go wrong with, these are kind of my six do's, okay? Mm-hmm. So one is you want to have your chest line and your hem length appropriate, not showing too much skin, basically, and even thinking about, you know, if you're wearing sleeveless, is that going to actually inadvertently show more skin than you want to? Also, think about just what do you do every day at work? Do you bend over a lot? Do you have to squat down? Do you have to reach overhead? Is your outfit going to be suddenly inappropriate when you do those things? So definitely something to think about. I know I have to bend over when I'm examining patients. I have to think about, you know, how my outfit is going to fare for just all kinds of things for work. And then, you know, what I would say is a good rule of thumb for most people is wear what you would if you were to visit an older person that you know, if you were going to your place of worship, that you would feel comfortable wearing to those places. I guess, you know, and if that helps you to say, okay, maybe this is not appropriate, then that's a good way to think of it. We kind of talked about shoes, you know, certainly can wear things with personality and color, but you just want to make sure they're comfortable and they're going to get you through the day safely. And then think about the washability of them. You know, you don't want to go out and buy a bunch of dry clean only stuff if you can't afford to keep up with that, because it is pretty costly. So maybe thinking, especially if you're just starting out, for those of you guys in school or just in your first or second professional job out, think about buying machine wash clothing, just because you want to, again, be clean and look like you've, you know, put yourself together nicely before you come in. As for colors and patterns, I love colors, patterns. I love, you know, unique pieces. And so just because you're dressing professionally doesn't mean you have to be boring.
Right.
You can bring in, you know, unique, interesting elements to your outfit without making it too wild. So, you know, thinking about maybe certain really bright, like neon green or orange might be too much in a more conservative office. One good thing I'd like to say is that a lot of positions that I've had, there's been a dress code. So actually reading that, becoming familiar with it, and just knowing if there's a definite no-no on that list, trying to avoid that. Now, not every place honors their dress code, but I think, you know, if you're just starting out and you want to make a good impression, it doesn't hurt to use that as a guideline as well.
Right.
You know, if they say no sleeveless shirts, maybe you ought to not buy those or not tend to wear those into work. And then finally, as I kind of said, to think about a statement piece, you know, whether it's a fun shoe that's red or animal print or something like that, or a really interesting necklace or a hair clip or, you know, a headband or something. Those can be really fun additions, especially if you're on a budget and can't really afford to update everything. Maybe just, you know, investing in one piece like a shoe or a hair clip will really just bring a lot of interest to your outfit, but it's not over the top and it doesn't make you unprofessional per se.
Wow. I came into this a little uncomfortable because that is not my style. I wear more the men's clothing. That's just, you know, that's comfortable for me. But I learned a lot. And, of course, when I was younger, I go on a lot of interviews. And still to this day, now on the other side of the interview process and looking at interviewees and how they approach their dress, it tells me how they're going to approach work. And one of the more important pieces that you said today was, you know, dress for the job that you want, not for the job that you have. And there's a lot of people now in my daily place of business that dresses almost less than the job that they have. And this is a great topic. Like I said, I had no idea to bring this topic to the mindset of our comfort killers, but this is an important one, and you taught me a lot, and I want to thank you Dr. Kara. And I want to ask, is there any other pieces, is there any other do's or don'ts that we should be thinking about when, you know, meetings, presentation, or do you think we covered it all? Because there's a wealth of information that you already provided.
Sure. Yeah, no, thank you again for the opportunity. Yeah, I have a couple other points. As for the don'ts, I think I said, you know, be careful with the jewelry, maybe not too many pieces. I had a friend who had worked at a big law firm, and they actually gave like a week-long seminar on how to dress, and they even wow. said, you know, don't wear more than 3 pieces of jewelry. You know, this is kind of what we want you to do. So I'm not sure you have to be that restrictive, but just try not to overdo it. Thinking about nail polish and nail length, especially if you're typing a lot, thinking about if your nails are going to actually impair your ability to type fast and you know, decrease your efficiency, or just, you know, are you going to scratch people when you're shaking their hand right. because your nails are so long, things like that. And then we talked about makeup and perfume, talked about showing too much skin, high heels that are going to be unsafe or just maybe make you look like you're ready for the club and not for right. the office. And then finally, just wearing things that are too tight that look like either they don't fit you or you're just giving off the wrong impression that you may not want, and you may actually, unfortunately, invite attention that you do not want in the workplace by wearing things like that. And then I would say for my power pieces, I think it's good to have some pieces that make you feel good when you put them on and make you feel confident. And it is totally a mind over matter thing sometimes with dress, that you put on something that makes you feel powerful and you really start to feel the part. And so for important meetings or presentations or interviews, for instance, for mine, it would be, you know, a red collared shirt that's tailored, a pencil skirt that's, you know, not too tight, but it looks kind of put together.
Right.
And then maybe like a kitten heel, a small heel that's a pointy toe shoe. So those are some of mine that just make me feel, you know, ready to meet the challenge for the day.
Yeah.
So finally, I would say that, you know, being put together will make you feel more confident. It will show your commitment to your job, to your superiors who are, you know, in a position of power to promote you or help you to reach your next career goal. And then finally, I think being put together can actually give you a sense of pride and happiness just in yourself and, you know, how you feel.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. Being put together makes you confident, makes you more confident. Being put together shows commitment to your job, to your boss, because I think it's that thing that you control. I think it all falls back to that thing that you control, that you invested that time and detail or paid attention to. And that, you know, that always translates to me that this person cares about what they're doing and where they are. So I agree with you 100%. I always ask, and this is the comfort killer, so we always ask a comfort killing question.
Okay.
Being a physician and going through the ranks and going through the 50 some odd interviews and going here and going there and just keeping your involvement in the health industry and medicine, what are some things that you had to do to get uncomfortable? Of course, with the dress and besides that, I want to know what Dr. Kara had to do in her life to achieve her goals and get uncomfortable. And that'll be the final question before taking us out. And we just always ask anyone on the show, what do you do to stay uncomfortable? What did you do to get uncomfortable to reach your goals?
That's a great question. Okay, let me think of a couple of quick, discreet answers for you. One, I would say, you know, deciding to be a doctor, it was not easy. It has been many uncomfortable years,
yeah.
to put it mildly, many long hours, a lot of money invested in education, and yeah. and it's been challenging. So it's not always been a comfortable road, and it's something I've had to work on and have had setbacks, definitely.
Yeah.
That's one, just deciding to do this career, and then probably, you know, having some difficult personalities along the way that I've had to work with, mm-hmm. and you know, figure out how to manage those interactions. That definitely has been a great lesson. I think that pretty much all of our viewers or listeners could identify with that for sure, because there's always going to be personality conflicts and people that you have to work with and you may not enjoy. And then, you know, finally, I would say just even giving big presentations to large groups of people was intimidating at one time, and even a reason to maybe not do my area of medicine, to think, oh, they're going to make me do presentations. But actually, the more I've done them, the more comfortable I've become, and I actually seek out those opportunities now, and have found that this has been, you know, a way for me to advance my career, actually. So, so I think it's great work that you're doing.
Thank you. I mean, thank you. That's great that you've done that. I always admire the discipline and the training themselves and the habit and that perseverance. That gets me. It's like the grit. So I always admire anyone. And my brother just graduated with his master of business admin and with a focus in engineering. And it's, you know, throw away what you can or cannot get with that degree. Throw that all out the window. This person, you step in for an interview with me, I know that you have been disciplined. You have trained yourself. You have made positive habits in your life. So to me, I believe just that length and going all the way, I want to say that, you know, I am very proud and happy to be speaking with you and honored at the same time. And thank you so much for giving our listeners all this information on a topic, like I said, and I'm going to keep saying it. I never thought I would do this topic, and this is uncomfortable for me. And I got comfortable with it because I know it's helping many people. And of course, that is my mission. That is my goal. To help millions get uncomfortable, teach them how to get uncomfortable, to think better, to act better, and to live better. So I am totally grateful for you, Dr. Kara, for being on my show.
All right. Thank you so much, Stacey. I really appreciate it. I think you're doing great work for people.
Thank you very much. And I mean, do you want people to email me to speak to you?
Sure. Yeah. If you have any questions or, you know, looking for tips or anything, I'd be happy to answer.
Yeah, and we're going to have the photos. Just by the time you hear this, you just need to double-click the website. We're going to have the photos, everything that Dr. Kara, Dr. C was saying, the kitten shoe, the neckline, everything. We're going to have the photo for that along with the do's and don'ts, and you could always reference that in case you need more information. Thank you again so much. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you as well, Stacey.